Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Good government must have as its core purposes the achievement of results for its citizens. This underscores the critical importance of performance, accountability, and results in government management, and it's premised on the belief that citizens have the right to hold the federal government accountable for its performance. Today, the U.S. Department of Energy stands at the forefront of helping this nation meet its energy, scientific, environmental, and national security goals, developing and deploying new energy technologies while reducing dependence on foreign energy sources. How are federal agencies such as the Department of Energy managing for performance and results? What are the critical elements that make for a great strategic plan? And how have the Recovery Act and the GPRA Modernization Act of 2010 changed the way government departments operate? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Jay Hoffman, Director of the Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the U.S. Department of Energy. Welcome, Jay.
Great. Well, thank you for having me, Michael.
Before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you can provide a brief overview of the history and evolution of Energy's Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation. When was it created and what's its mission today?
Well, the office came about in 2002. I arrived roughly December 2005, and it was originally modeled on the Department of Defense's Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation, which is actually sort of a famous office in PA&E circles. It was a concept that was largely devised by Secretary McNamara. And I think the DOE really hoped to emulate that when it stood up its PA&E capability in 2002. Now, the key difference between the Department of Energy's PA&E and what Defense is doing is that Department of Energy's Program Analysis and Evaluation function is located in the office of the CFO, whereas at the Department of Defense, it's located in the Secretary's office. And why that matters is that our PA&E is really a subsidiary of the CFO's organization, meaning that we are grounded in budget, taking a multi-year perspective, trying to understand the value proposition of various alternatives and how the department's $26 billion research and development portfolio fits together. I think at the end of the day, our long-run value proposition is trying to help integrate a very complicated Department of Energy story and communicating that story through the planning and budget process.
So operationally, just a quick question around how your office is organized and how many FTEs do you have?
Well, in my organization, we have three divisions: a strategic analysis division, which really does the core program analysis and evaluation work that would be analogous to what I just talked about at DOD. We have a second division called performance management, and they are responsible for all things Government Performance and Results Act related, the strategic planning, the performance management processes. And then lastly, we have a temporary division in PA&E that was stood up in 2009 called Recovery Act Operations. The entire operation is between 25 and 27 feds, and currently about seven contractors are, although at our height in recovery, we probably had three or four times that many contractors. Budget-wise, this year, I would say the non-recovery side is probably $4 to $5 million. The recovery budget is probably $2 to $3 million, and that's been coming down quite a bit since 2009. Everything we do in Recovery Act is severable with the idea that we will shut that down at the end of next year. Now, you juxtapose that to when I arrived on the scene in 2005. The organization was 12 people, only $130,000 in contract travel and training money. It really had sort of lost its footing. So I do feel good about the foundation that we have, and I think we've built some exciting things.
So I'd like to delve into that. In your specific role as Director of Energy's Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation, what are your specific responsibilities and duties? And more importantly, how do you support Energy's overall mission?
Right. So at the end of the day, I think the way to conceptualize what it is we're doing is we're trying to provide an independent look, independent analysis of alternative portfolio options. So that helps the decision maker sort of weigh their options between what might be two or three very good ideas, mm-hmm. but there's only funding to really accomplish one or two of those things. And so we're trying to help sort that out. We don't have any sort of line responsibility for implementing these things, so we don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. I think in addition to that, we also facilitate the identification of priorities and provide a programming framework in terms of how some of those things ultimately get selected for the planning process. We're doing a range of independent program, technology, and market analysis. A lot of the DOE's work at the end of the day has to fit into a larger economy, and that's a fairly complex proposition. Obviously, we have the facilitation of the strategic planning process. We play a role in helping formulate and implement that with the senior team. And then the roles that you would expect from the performance improvement officer, specifically monitoring the performance measures and targets, and the Work and Recovery Act, which is around the planning architecture, the data management and reporting associated with that. So maybe the way to think about this is a day in my life. You know, it requires strong conceptual analytical skills, and I might find myself in the morning working on alternative budget proposals for, say, something like nuclear power, nuclear deployment options. And then in the late afternoon, maybe I'll switch gears and find myself working with OMB on our high priority performance goals, both in terms of what we're trying to deliver programmatically as well as getting the right process in place to execute those. And finally, maybe before I break for the day, we'll be doing something with performance measures in terms of looking at those, seeing what our results are, and getting those upstairs to our leadership team for review. So it's a pretty diverse mix of things. It's an interesting day for sure.
So with such a diverse portfolio, what are your top three challenges that you face, and how have you sought to address them?
Sure. Well, you know, I would think about it this way. Challenge number one is around really recruiting and retaining top talent and what has unfortunately become sort of an acidic climate, I think, toward the federal bureaucracy. And that's just the nature of things. That ebbs and flows. Certainly the cap on pay and some of the bonus restrictions that have put in place haven't helped. The Recovery Act implementation is an interesting dynamic in that as well, in that I think the federal workforce worked very, very hard to implement Recovery Act, and now that's become sort of a political talking point and not necessarily the best way. And finally, you're seeing a lot of calls for downsizing, and I think the retirement wave that people have been talking about being 5 years around the corner for the last 10 or 15 years is finally starting to break. So recruiting and retaining top talent is probably the number one thing on my mind and occupies at least 10 or 15% of my mind space every week. Next, I would say is staying current. This is a rapidly evolving market, and we have rapidly evolving technologies. And that's really what the Department of Energy is all about, is working on innovative technologies. And so I think it's a real challenge for the people in my organization in particular, as well as the entire Department of Energy, I suppose, to stay current on what we're doing on the innovation side in research and development. By its very nature, the concepts that we're dealing with are complex, abstract, they're worked in niches, and all those have to be sort of married against what's happening in a rapidly evolving marketplace with smartphones and changes in the way that we use and think about energy, to name but a few. So there's a constant learning curve there. And then lastly, I would say that there's a balance that we're trying to strike between taking the long view and what we hear in the talking points as the urgency of now. Certainly there are some problems that need to be solved now, but they're not all likely to be solved on the watch of one secretary or one administration. And I think we need to strike the balance. I need to help strike the balance to cultivate and maintain institutional capability and to invest in our people to make sure that we have the right skill mix and analytical foundation to help the next crew that comes in, whoever they may be. I guess I would say one thing. I think that this will be harder and harder to do as the budget pencil gets sharper and sharper.
I'd like to transition a little bit to learn more about you. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your career path? How did you get started, and what brought you to your current leadership role?
Well, it's been an interesting path, I think. I started actually at the Department of Treasury in 1997 as what was then called a presidential management intern. And my first assignment was at the Bureau of the Mint, which at the time was a very different type of government organization. It was very atypical, and it's greatly influenced the way I think about problems in the federal sector. So let me say a little bit more about that. At the time that I arrived at the Mint, they were just making this transformation to operate more like a business. They'd gone to Congress and sought legislation to move off of appropriations and onto a revolving fund. They had a product line, which they sold to the public, and they were very focused on trying to generate a profit and maintain margins. They put up a retail website when the term retail website was something people were just starting to wrap their heads around. They had a surprisingly creative and innovative set of leaders at the Mint that were very savvy with the Hill and could get some things done. And so we were right on the cutting edge of these programs that people had not heard of at the time, crazy things like the 50-state quarter program and a new dollar coin. And getting to see how all of those things were put together, focusing on the analytics that drove that business and thinking about customer service delivery using technology was something I don't think anyone else in the government was doing much of at that time. So that really influenced the way that I thought about government, the execution of government policy and mission and agency performance. Now, from there, I moved on to the Treasury headquarters for a couple of years and spent time with both the Assistant Secretary for Management as well as the Secretary's Chief of Staff. And that was also very impactful. And then that gave me the foundation in what are the responsibilities of the cabinet officer, the role they play, and what sort of levers are in place that influence those activities below the cabinet level. So that was a very different focus. It was very different than working in a bureau where you're focused on service delivery or process. From there, I actually went back to the Mint and spent another couple years building their financial analysis capability, looking at the operations of the Mint in the context of both what they were doing, but also in terms of the marketplace. We were very interested in market trends, things like was the economy booming or busting, because that affected the business model and our bottom lines. And from there, I received my first SES position about almost 8 years ago at the Department of Treasury in a strategic planning and performance management. One of my supervisors there, second line supervisor, was a fellow named Sam Bodman, who was our deputy secretary. And when he went to the Department of Energy, I started applying for jobs there and was lucky enough to be there starting in 2005 in my current role.
Oh, wonderful. Given your experience and the diverse experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in an increasingly interconnected networked world?
Well, I think the thing you have to think about in terms of a networked world is, first and foremost, you have to embrace it. You have to be part of it. It's now woven into our fabric of how we communicate. As an example, Secretary Stephen Chu of the Department of Energy has a Facebook page and a large following. And he's using his Facebook page not just to sort of share photos of his recent vacation, but he's using it in a way to communicate his priorities and the reasoning behind those priorities to an audience that he might not be able to reach. So I think that's an exciting use of sort of the networked world and networked communication. The other thing I think that's equally important that the government's starting to wrap its arms around is that there are big productivity gains for government if it can figure out how to leverage this new networked world. The federal government is now able to reach out and touch its citizens through the power of technology, through the web, directly in a way that we really couldn't imagine 10 or 20 years ago. So I think that's exciting. And I don't know about you, Michael, but I'm waiting for the USA apps for my iPhone as we think about this brave new world.
How is the U.S. Department of Energy managing for performance and results? We will ask Jay Hoffman, Director of the Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the U.S. Department of Energy, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.